And we're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN here at 9:34. I'm Brandon Peoples, chatting today with Cheryl Collins from the Riley County Museum, which is now open, as I understand. We were talking during the break, Cheryl, that you guys are open with a few restrictions in place.
Yes, we are open. Our regular hours, Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 5. We do request people wear masks and use the hand sanitizer and not touch anything and stay 6 foot apart and all of those normal rules from today.
And, of course, there's a number of services that you can do at the museum. Of course, you can learn about any number of things historically related. I know you offer some genealogy there. Most of that can be done online as well.
Yes. We're always happy to help through our website. And then also if folks just have a question, they can give us a call at 785-565-6490.
You know, we're talking about famous Riley Countyans in history here. And it's interesting because, you know, somebody might be doing some genealogy and they may find out, hey, that's my great-great-grandfather or something like that.
Yes, you find all kinds of connections when you start looking up history.
Absolutely. Well, and some of these names that are coming up, people might say, hey, that's an extended family member. And I'm sure there's a lot of extended family that still settle here in Riley County.
Yes, we get lots of interesting families that come in.
Well, let's talk about our next one, number 7 on the list.
And okay.
This person didn't live very long.
Well, no, and this one might fit into the category of infamous, not famous. This person was born November 20th, 1874 in New York City and died April 22nd, 1892 in Wyoming. This person was brought to Riley County as an orphan on an orphan train. And I'll mention, if you've never been to the Orphan Train Museum in Concordia, that's well worth a visit. It's very interesting. Hmm. And of course, that would be directly connected to this person's history. This person lived with the Loofborough family in Leonardville and then later with the Colt family in Randolph. And this person was the youngest and first person hung by the state of Wyoming.
Wow. So I'm going to guess this person was a criminal then.
Yes. This was Charlie Miller, and they called him Kansas Charlie. And, of course, newspapers and reporting on the incident that caused him to be hung, which was he killed two men in a boxcar at Cheyenne, Wyoming, September 27th, 1890.
Wow.
Which was what caused him to be the youngest and first person hung by the state of Wyoming. I'll mention there's a great book called Kansas Charlie by Joan Jacobs Brumberg that's available at the Manhattan Public Library about Charlie's life and a little bit about the death penalty in Wyoming. And she was looking at the execution of very young people in this book that she wrote. So it's a great story and a really interesting one that, of course, Riley County then has a direct connection with.
Yeah. Do we know if he ever showed any remorse for the killings?
My impression was that he did. He was really young, and he'd had a really difficult life. His mother died when he was very young. His father was not able to take care of the kids, and then he died himself when the children were young. And then the children were placed in the orphanage system. And how Charlie got here was that his brother, Fred, had been adopted on the orphan train with a family in Riley County. And that adoption actually worked out really well. Charlie's first adoptions did not work out well. He had a couple of families that things didn't work out with, and then eventually ended up where his brother was. So it's an interesting story, and I recommend folks look up the book Kansas Charlie.
Yeah, anybody who's interested in learning more about, you know, the foster care system, this would probably be a good read, I would think.
It's an interesting look at one of the ways that they tried to handle these children that needed homes, and there were a lot of homeless children in New York at that period with the upheavals of industrialization and, you know, the various pressures that were causing families to have lots of difficulties.
And orphan trains, that just doesn't seem like a thing we would ever experience. But that was pretty commonplace back then, huh?
It was one of the things that was used to try to find homes for all these kids that didn't have homes, and it also gave farm labor to places that needed farm labor, like Kansas.
Hmm. Well, that one's interesting. I'll have to do some more research on that. That's a fascinating story.
And I do recommend visiting the Orphan Train Museum in Concordia. Hmm. It's just very, very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. Number eight, who is this person?
Okay. This person is actually still living. This person was born in 1942 in Topeka, Kansas, and was inducted into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in 2007. This person attended Kansas State University, graduating in 1976, and was the first woman to receive a sports letter at K-State. This person was the 28 times shooting U.S. national champion, so 28 times champion, and was a silver medalist in the 1976 Olympics and the first markswoman to win a medal in Olympic history. So kind of a stellar sports history there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Is she still living? You said she's still living.
Yes, to my knowledge, this person is still living. And this, of course, is Margaret Thompson Murdoch.
All right. Is she still living in Kansas, do you know?
I don't know. I couldn't really figure out where she was, but I didn't find any indication that she had passed away. So I think she is still living. And being born in 1942, that's very possible.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. Prominent because... women's sports weren't recognized until later in the 20th century. So,
yes, of course, K-State women's basketball just celebrated their anniversary recently, and it was very interesting to hear the history of K-State women's basketball. And in fact, one of our board members, Mary Stamey, the Historical Society board member, Mary Stamey, had been on that first women's basketball team. And it was fun to hear things that she remembered firsthand from that experience.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty cool. Nice to hear somebody that's still living. And it would be interesting to find out if she's still in Kansas.
Yes, it would be very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, number nine here is it has to do with someone in the arts, I think.
Yes. Well, and in news media. This person was born in 1857 in Ashland, Kansas, and died July 11th of 1930 in Lawrence, Kansas. And this person opened the first movie house in Kansas at Lawrence. This person was a founder with Damon Runyon's father, A.L. Runyon, of the Manhattan Enterprise newspaper in 1876. So that's where the news media comes in. He worked in news for a long time. And then after he got out of news, he worked in vaudeville as an actor, a stage agent, and then eventually went into moving pictures.
Okay. Well, interesting. And I've seen the name on the Senate report, but I never know how to pronounce it. So,
well, there's a little controversy about that. I've always pronounced it Patti, so Claire or Clarence Patti. His family is connected to the Patti House in St. Joseph, and they pronounce it Patti. So I'm not exactly sure what's correct, but I call it Patti. And, of course, Claire Patti is the person that opened the first movie house in Kansas at Lawrence, and they had what they called the Patti House in Lawrence, which unfortunately burnt down. But if you walk up and down Massachusetts Street, the place where that movie house was has a plaque there. So you can kind of see where it used to be.
Interesting. And how, whatever happened with the Manhattan Enterprise paper?
Well, it's one of the forerunners of the Manhattan Mercury. And we've had lots of newspapers in Manhattan over the years. In fact, usually we had, three or four running at the same time. And eventually those all merged or quit. And, of course, we got down to what we have today. Newspaper history is a really, really interesting history, of course, as is radio history.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's cool. And we're going to round it up with number 10 here on our list. Who's this person?
Well, number 10 was born October 19th, 1934 in Sweden and died April 29th, 1970 in California. This person was a graduate of Manhattan High School and was in theater contest while in high school with Del Close Jr. And, of course, Del Close Jr. is the inventor of the long-form improvisation, you know, that you see in Second City and all of the different improvisation groups. This person won a Golden Globe Award and was nominated for two Emmy Awards and starred in the television show The Farmer's Daughter. So do you remember The Farmer's Daughter?
I don't. That predates me, but I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Well, I don't even know if it's on reruns. Of course, during the pandemic, my family's watched a whole lot of old TV shows, and entertainment's kind of hard to come by these mm-hmm. days. So I'll have to go out and look and see if that's on the TV still. But this person is Inger Stensland, whose stage name was Inger Stevens. And she was a beautiful blonde actress and was most active in the 60s.
Well, that's cool. And she didn't live long. She died in 1970.
That's right. She was very young when she died. There's a good book about her, The Farmer's Daughter Remembered, by William T. Patterson. And I don't know if that is available at the public library, but it's definitely available online or you can order.
Interesting. We'll have to go find that, see if I can find that TV show streaming somewhere, or maybe at the library. Maybe they have a copy of it. Who knows?
If you look her up online, she was in a number of movies, although her main acting came in TV. But she was in some movies, and so you can catch some of those. Whether they're good movies, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Well, that's cool to know we have a little Hollywood tie here in the Manhattan area.
Oh, yes. We have a number of Hollywood connections here.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know of a couple just right off the top of my head. Eric Stone Street, obviously. And,
yep.
And Dave's mentioned before, Elvira.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yes. Yes. There are a number of people even active currently and also in the past.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll wrap up our conversation here with Cheryl Collins from the Riley County Museum. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.